All right, praise God from whom all blessings flow. I've been away from the 3D flesh-minded creatures for so long that I forgot what they were like, you know. They live in an upside-down bizarro world, just like a mirror universe or something. And so, God reminded me of how free I am and how much peace I've got and how much I really have to be thankful for what I have. The religious but lost, psychopathic, narcissistic Jezebel actually wants to kill you. They really want to kill you. They want to destroy you. And all I can tell you is, once you see it, you can't unsee it, and you walk away. They try to manipulate you. It's just built in. It's the demon in them, really. I mean, I saw this 20, 30 years ago. They're not. Their whole game is to try to manipulate you and control you. And when you walk away, they're going to keep trying. They're like Thanos. Thanos thinks he's controlling the universe, you know? Or they're like, what's her name? Wanda the Witch. They think they control everything. Think about all these people in the Marvel Universe that have all these superpowers and they think they're gods, you know? The only one with a bunch of powers who was humble was Vision guy. But the narcissistic Jezebel psychopath, I learned with renters and on the job and different places, I learned to take notes, especially when I was dealing with unsaved family and friends. I would take notes and I would see a pattern. They would all say the same thing. They were all saying the same thing. And so you realized over time that those people were pretending to be friends, but they were really frenemies trying to kill you. And some demon jumped on them or something from childhood or something, and they never could receive Jesus and get saved and get right. So, you know, they just became more evil and more covert about it, you know, covert evil. They don't like your freedom. They don't like when you cut them off. And so what happens with Jezebel, she'll try to pull you in with a painted face, right? And then when she pulls you in and you start to see how wicked it is, you say, I'm sorry, but this is not my kind of lifestyle, you know. This is not even real, really, to be honest with you. So then you walk away, and then they do the guilt, shame, condemnation, and then that don't work, and then they keep trying to play these games, and then that don't work, and then they start to curse you out. Well, where'd that come from? I didn't even know you had such a foul mouth. So you don't want to put up with that. The foul mouth doesn't work. They can't coerce you with that. The harder they try using the flesh tools, the worse they get. And then you block almost every avenue. You might leave one avenue open. So maybe they'll get saved. Maybe they'll repent. And even on that one avenue, they still want to project onto you what's really them. And all you wanted was peace. And all you wanted was your free will. And all you wanted was to be heard. So they overtalk you and try to make you look like, dehumanize you. If it's a man or a woman, demasculate. Or if it's the woman, to make the woman feel like she's nothing. And so you just walk away. You walk away. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And the cursing and the yelling and the screaming and the projection and the guilt trip and all that never works. So you just keep walking away. So then when they realize they pretty much lost and they can't admit sin, they can't admit wrong, they can't admit they're the abuser and the liar and the cheater, so they have to project it onto you.
you're an abuser.
No, I'm not. I walked away. I walked away because of your toxic behavior. Why would I walk away? Why would I cut ties? Because you're toxic, but they cannot look in the mirror. So they have to project it onto you. And so when they start to do that, you know it's coming to an end. Because once they start to say they can't accept any wrong, the over-talking, the lying, the cheating, the gaslighting, the drama, the insanity, the wishy-washy, the player mindset, the criminal mindset, the drinking and all that stuff, and you walk away, and you don't even know who's talking. You don't know if a drunk person's talking or a sober person's talking when they're emailing or whatever they're doing. You don't know if they're drunk or not. Usually drunk. Usually it's not even them. It's a demon from the drinking. You're abusive. No, I walked away from abuse, and I did it very kindly. And I did it in such a way that everybody could come out on top if you chose to. But you don't choose to come out on top. You choose to hang out with the same toxic people, and you're spiraling downward, and you're so mad because people saw through you, saw through the game, and you've never had anybody penetrate to your spirit, soul, and body via the Word of God. All I need is my Bible, and I can penetrate to your heart, because the words out of your mouth reveal what's in the heart. And if everything out of your mouth is cursing and gaslighting and lies and narcissism and projection and foul mouth and bitterness and unforgiveness and hating people and hating souls, and I mean, I could list 1,000 things. I don't walk away unless there's like 3 flags, I start to back off. But after about 50 red flags, 3 red flags, I back off. After 50 red flags, you pretty much know I'm done. It's sad. If the Jezebel can't control you, they want to kill you. Seriously. And they want to kill your character. They want to kill your emotions, your visions, your dreams, your... They want to kill your voice. They want to kill everything about you. But I promise you, Jezebel always gets knocked back by God. God will not let the Elijah spirit be knocked back by Jezebel. Jezebel might chase Elijah, try to kill him, but she gets knocked back. She don't even know what she's facing off with. She's facing off with a universe that's run by God. And God looks at her heart, and God looks at Elijah's heart. And the heart that's seeking truth, the true God, is the one that God defends. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. But the liar, the gaslighter, the Jezebel, the narcissist, the psychopath, whatever, the player, the scammer, the schemer, the thief, I had this guy pulling over my lane. I'm right there on him, and he's like 65, 70, and he don't even look like he's got it together at all. I don't know why he's got his driver's license. The thief, the drug head, the drunkard, whatever they're doing. I don't know what they're doing. Who knows? But you can tell, you already know what they're doing, because Galatians 5:19, 20:21 tells you what they're doing. And so they're just going to spiral downward. And maybe they'll come to the end of themselves. Maybe they'll finally get saved, but they usually don't. Jezebel usually just keeps going, and she destroys herself. Destroys her mind, her soul, her health, her body, her ability to reason. The ability to look in the mirror. If you don't have conviction of sin, Lord, I'm a sinner, please save me. My sin stinks to thy heaven. Lord, I deserve hell, please save me. If you can't say that, I feel sorry for you. If you can't see your own sin, if you can't see your own wickedness and your own rebellion, comparing it to the Word of God, when you hold the Word of God up and He says, you're lazy. And you say, yes, Lord, I agree. Give me the strength not to be lazy. Then you go get two jobs and work two jobs the rest of your life. When He says you're a drunkard and you're going to hell because you're a drunkard, and if you can't say, if you say, yes, Lord, I'm a drunkard, and you get right and get saved and you don't drink ever again. You're a liar. When the Bible says you're a liar, your heart's deceitfully wicked, who can know it? And you say, yes, Lord, my heart's deceitfully wicked and I can't stand myself. I deserve hell, but please save me. If you can't do that kind of stuff, there's really no hope for you. You read the Bible to get conviction. You read the Bible to get direction. You read the Bible to grow. You read the Bible to become a new creature. You read the Bible to stay on track. You read the Bible to get born again by the preaching of the Word. You read your Bibles and maybe you can get saved. I knew this one lady who was a principal. She said, I said, how'd you get saved? She said, I got saved reading my Bible. I said, wow. She was friends with my ex-wife. My ex-wife wasn't saved. My ex-wife, she couldn't see her own sin. She couldn't take responsibility. She couldn't be held accountable. She didn't even know what a wife was. She thought she was still a party animal. She probably still thinks that way. Who knows? Who cares? She was a liar. She was trying her best to be religious in front of everybody and make me look like the bad guy. But why are you slamming the doors while I'm trying to sleep? I work two jobs. You're trying to take away my sleep. Why are you getting on the phone talking to everybody and her neighbor, causing chaos and drama with the neighborhood? Because you got a problem. You're sick. Long story short, if they can't see their own sin, and then they finally come to the point where they have to, when you say, I don't like your toxic behavior, I don't like your abusive language, and I'm done, I'll check back in 6 months. But when you say that, you know 6 months, you won't even remember the person. So then the reverse psychology is, well, you're the abuser. No, I've never said a curse word. I've never threatened. I've never said anything at all that's been abusive. You need help. You need a counselor. I'm walking away. You're not even worth my time anymore. I gave you enough of my time, and it's a bleep on the screen. You have proved that you cannot take rebuke, and so it tells me that you will never listen to God's rebuke. You will never listen to anybody's rebuke. You want to be a goddess, a queen bee goddess, Jezebel, who wants everybody to fall at their feet and let them act like a spoiled little child, and they can throw a temper tantrum and do anything they want without any accountability. It ain't going to happen, not on my watch. Go do it with somebody else. Go find a drunkard to do it with, because it ain't going to be me. I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm going to push you higher. And if you don't want to be pushed higher, it's on you. You give them the benefit of the doubt, and then they just keep adding to it. I mean, you're self-sabotaging. And you say, why are you destroying? Why do you want to destroy everything? You're destroying yourself. You're not going to destroy me. I'll just walk away and start a new life. Actually, I didn't really have to start a new life. I just keep on doing my life. This is why they want to isolate you and pull you off of your calling and off of your routine and all that. They want to get you. They want to destroy you so bad, and you can see it. The good thing about studying narcissism, you're actually studying the Jezebel spirit, and you can actually see their manipulation and witchcraft before they even do it. And you know that you've seen it. And so you already know what they're going to do before they do it. They have no conviction of sin. They have no conviction of toxicity. The toxic behavior is so off the roof, and they can't even see it. And everybody around them, their bloodline knows it. But they can't see it. That's delusions. Mm-hmm.
Look how many you can.
So Jezebel is delusional. And if somebody stepped into delusions, if somebody's delusional, how can you fix them? You can't. And God can't even fix them because He actually sent them strong delusion. He sends one last born again their way because God sent them strong delusion and He's given them one last chance to hear the truth and they reject that. A messenger shows up and they reject the messenger.
Oh no, you see me get this.